It's time now for KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30. Once again, it's Gabe from the KMTS Morning Show. Another familiar voice today, Morgan Hill, formerly Garfield County Public Health, and a little stint in Eagle County, and now the Associate Director at CLEAR, Clean Energy Economy for the Region, of course, which has close ties to Garfield Clean Energy as well, right?
Yes. So CLEAR implements the programs and services for Garfield Clean Energy. We have had a contract with Garfield Clean Energy, or GCE, since GCE began in 2009 and then became an actual collaborative in 2012.
So much talk in, ramping up. There's been talk about alternative energy. I remember talking about wind and solar when I was a kid. And, you fast forward 50 years of technology development and advancement, and a lot of these things are getting much more cost effective for individual people, not just people that want to make, a statement about renewable energy or something like that. And then, of course, Governor Polis really believes in clean energy and has tried to kind of direct the state toward a clean energy economy, as it were. And so that means that now CLEAR, who's always been in the forefront, really, in the area, is now even more so because I guess you might call it sort of a perfect storm. All of these things are coming together to kind of push things in that direction.
Yeah, we have a lot of great work going on. Part of what we're going to be talking about today is our updated energy action plan. And that plan partly is designed to take advantage of some of these funding opportunities and initiatives that are happening at the state and federal level that work can be implemented locally. So there's a lot of enthusiasm and energy around this topic, around energy efficiency, renewable energy, and clean mobility. And this plan, our updated energy action plan, and CLEAR, Clean Energy Economy for the Region's work, is really designed to move our community forward in those areas.
A lot of energy, no pun intended.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. One thing that I personally look at, and perhaps is one of the most visible renewable energy sources, it seems to me to be solar. Every time I hear about it, I think, boy, wouldn't it be great to put up a few solar panels and, watch the power bill at least go down, if not go away completely. That's another one of those technology things. Solar panels, you may have actual numbers, are so much less expensive and more efficient now than they were even maybe 5 or 10 years ago.
It is becoming quite a bit more cost-effective to install solar arrays. And one reason you have seen more solar probably than a lot of other renewable energy sources locally is it is certainly an opportunity that Garfield County is uniquely positioned in the sense that we have a lot of sun in our area. We have the space to be able to install some of these solar arrays. We have rooftops and other land to install solar. And again, it is becoming more cost effective. And we at CLEAR and Garfield Clean Energy have implemented several solar programs in the past. We had Solarize Garfield County that was about a year ago, where we installed solar arrays on rooftops. And we are also working with our local utilities. We have a mix of three electric utility providers in Garfield County: Holy Cross Electric, Xcel Energy, and Glenwood Springs Electric. And they are all interested in increasing the mix of solar and all renewables, really, within our energy mix. But locally, solar is really a great option.
I hear a lot about solar on Facebook. I think you know where this is going. One of the complaints I hear about solar is that the elements that go into making the solar panels and the batteries are actually harmful to the environment. And I think that, correct me if I'm wrong, those are actually recyclable products.
Some of those products are recyclable. I was actually, just before this, having a conversation about opportunities to recycle solar panels. But we recognize that nearly every electricity source has some environmental impacts, and the resources that it takes to produce the batteries and the solar panels do have an environmental impact. However, once they are developed, that energy is produced without any greenhouse gas emissions. So we kind of recognize that, yep, there are some trade-offs with really every source of energy, but there are a lot of benefits to solar, and hopefully we can just continue to reduce those environmental impacts in how they're extracted, and then, like you said, potential recycling opportunities.
Okay, so let's talk about solving the problem now. Right? Because that's in advertising, they always tell us, you know, you can get into the weeds a lot, but what you really want to talk about is what problem are you solving for people? And again, solar is very visible. The electric bill is particularly this winter, right? We've heard a lot about utility bills going up astronomically, although somehow my mom's last electric bill was actually lower than last year by a few dollars, which I don't know how she did that. But she must be living right. That's all I can say. Do you have some programs to help people? I know that basically all the time, Clear has programs where you can do those energy audits, where you can go through and you can make suggestions for changes that people can make. But do you also have either information on, say, tax breaks or grants that people can use to offset? Because even though technology has advanced and it's a lot more cost effective than it used to be, it is still a capital investment if you want to convert all or a portion of your home or business to solar.
Exactly. Well, we do have several programs at Clear and Garfield Clean Energy that help save residents money as well as increase comfort. So mainly in the residential sector, we have the Re-Energize program. And Re-Energize Garfield County does home energy assessments and then issues rebates for energy efficiency upgrades. And a lot of times we have interest in new windows because people can feel that cold air coming off of their window. And sometimes we will actually give rebates for energy efficient blinds. So blinds and curtains can trap a lot of that cold air outside the room and make your room feel more comfortable and save money. Often insulation is one of the main issues in homes that can increase energy bills and make your home colder in the winter and hotter in the summer. So we have provided a lot of funding for homeowners that are income qualified to make these upgrades in their home. We've also issued rebates for appliances, new furnaces, sometimes even an energy efficient refrigerator or a stovetop can all be qualified under that program. So we have directly benefited a lot of families. Over the years, Clear and some of the programs that we've implemented have saved roughly $2.3 million in electric bills for homeowners. So there's a significant economic benefit. You know, that money that stays in people's pockets can then go to other expenses and make things just a little bit easier for families. And on the commercial side is really where we do a lot of that coaching for businesses and governments. When we do a free commercial energy audit, then we give them suggestions on how they can make their facility more energy efficient. And a lot of that is other grant and funding opportunities that they can take advantage of. So there definitely are a lot of those out there, and we help a lot of different sectors to implement those upgrades.
So for folks that are listening right now and they heard maybe spend less on energy and that really piqued their interest, how can they get a hold of Clear to talk about these, again, a lot of different options and programs available for residential and commercial? How can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, so they can go to, they can visit either Clear's website or Garfield Clean Energy's website. So garfieldcleanenergy.org is our website for GCE, and that's where they can access the application for Re-Energize. And we provide support and coaching for how folks can access funds for our own Re-Energize, which is county funded. So all of the Garfield Clean Energy Collaborative members contribute funding that goes to Re-Energize. And a lot of that has come from Garfield County government, and we've been so grateful for that funding. Mm. But we also will direct folks, depending on their income qualification, to CARE and WAP, which are federal, state, and federal programs that give energy efficiency upgrades. So we have actually, all the marketing and outreach that we've done for Re-Energize has helped increase the amount of folks that are applying for CARE and WAP. So we definitely encourage them to visit GarfieldCleanEnergy.org and apply, or they can go to CLEAR's website, which is CleanEnergyEconomy.net.
A lot of interesting programs, and one specifically that you mentioned you updated in the last year or so is Energy Action Plan. Now, this is, I talked earlier about this move toward renewable energy, and 2030 is a year that I've heard this mentioned on the national level, and of course, here in Colorado. I want to say there is some deadline. Is it for coal-fired power plants in the year 2030? I don't quote me on this, but 2030 is a year that I've heard a lot when we're talking about renewable energy, and it has an impact locally as well.
Absolutely. So in our updated Energy Action Plan, which this we say updated because there was a plan developed in 2017 that laid a lot of the groundwork for the work that Garfield Clean Energy does, and this plan just really builds on that. That effort is ramping up some of those goals to make them a little bit more aggressive, but we totally think that they are achievable. It's going to take some work, but a lot of them are set towards that 2030 timeframe. So our first goal is around energy savings and resulting in 12% total energy savings by 2030, and that's in the built environment, so for both commercial and residential buildings. We also want to have our electricity grid be 100% carbon-free by 2030. And we talked a little bit about some of the impacts of developing renewable energy projects. So that's really, once that energy is producing, that it's 100% carbon-free. And a lot of that is in partnership with those utilities that I mentioned. And they're really already doing a lot of the work towards 100% renewables. City of Glenwood Springs made in some news, I think it was a couple years ago, for their energy mix now being 100% renewable. So again, that 2030 goal is really important for us. And then we also want to transition to at least 15% of all of our registered vehicles in Garfield County to zero emissions by 2030. And that 15% sounds relatively small, but it actually is a huge increase for it from the number of EVs that are on the road in Garfield County right now. It's about a 20-fold increase in the number of vehicles. So it'll take some work for us, but a lot of that again is with our partners. That's really the direction that auto manufacturers are going. But where we really can support those efforts is both in raising awareness of EVs and how easy it can be to buy one, access to tax rebates for EVs, and then also making sure that folks can charge them when they buy one. So we issue grants for charging stations and provide coaching so the stations can be installed around municipalities, at multifamily housing complexes, businesses, that kind of thing. And we also have a lot of active transportation goals around that clean mobility, so biking, walking, transit, and then also some greenhouse gas emissions reduction goals that really kind of are a little bit of a byproduct of achieving the other goals. So reducing greenhouse gas emissions from the electric supply by 100% by 2030, and then also partnering with Black Hills Energy on some of their emissions reduction goals to reduce greenhouse gas emissions from natural gas delivery by 10%. And then with all of this, recognizing that there's a need for clean energy, economic development, and jobs, and that there's really an economic benefit to this work too, that does stimulate jobs, and recognizing that we also have a lot of folks who work in the natural gas industry here in Garfield County. And we also recognize that a lot of homes use natural gas for heating here, and that's going to continue for a long time. So just addressing those impacts and making that one of our five goals.
You reminded me of something I wanted to ask at the outset of the second segment, and that is, again, the two organizations are Clear Clean Energy Economy for the region, and then the other organization which you are a part of and which you work closely with is Garfield Clean Energy, again, specifically relating to Garfield County. So do you also work with consumers and commercial businesses outside of Garfield County throughout the area?
Absolutely. So Garfield Clean Energy is one of our biggest contracts. Garfield Clean Energy essentially contracts with Clear to implement all these programs and services, as well as manage the way that the collaborative functions. And we really value doing that work for Garfield County. It's a major part of our service area. But Clear also does contract work with other neighboring counties, cities as well. The Recharge Colorado program is one of our biggest EV electric vehicle programs. And our EV coaches that work for Clear service actually a 14-county region in Northwest Colorado.
Wow.
So we have some EV ride and drive events coming up this summer. And one of those is in Glenwood Springs, but we're hosting a few of them in neighboring counties too. So, we're based in Carbondale, but our staff work or live all around the county. And we are, like I said, have other contracts outside of just GCE, but it's one of our biggest.
Okay. Back to the updated energy action plan. I took notes on all of those points that you mentioned because I've got some follow-up on each one of these. You say that by 2030, you want to increase energy savings by 12%. So what does that mean specifically? Are you talking about, as we mentioned before, more efficient homes with helping replace windows and upgrading insulation, that kind of thing?
Yeah, that's one of our biggest focus areas. And again, that applies really to both the residential and commercial sector. So there is going to take a lot of work to get to this goal. Again, a little bit like the EVs that I mentioned, 12% doesn't sound like a huge percentage, but it really is a meaningful goal, and we believe will really make a difference both for greenhouse gas emissions reductions and, again, saving residents a lot of money and making our buildings more comfortable. And so just what you mentioned is what it's going to take in terms of upgrades to homes. There's a lot of opportunities to make existing homes more efficient. We also do provide coaching and design assistance for new facilities and new homes that are being built. There is a new energy code that is being adopted that's part of the building code, and several deadlines for when that code needs to be adopted by the various governments in our area. And we are going to provide coaching for those governments, as well as trying to direct them to resources to making sure they can implement the code. So that's more for new buildings, and maybe any building that is getting a major remodel would have to by these deadlines. 2026 is one of the big years that aspects of the code need to be adopted. So we have one of our staff at Clear that is providing these resources. And then we're also partnering with the Colorado Energy Office on making sure that we can do that coaching. So lots of different elements to achieving that energy savings goal. But we're also keeping our finger on the pulse of the Inflation Reduction Act funding that's going to be trickling down to local departments that can help pay for some of these conversions and energy efficiency upgrades.
The next one was 100% carbon-free energy grid. So this is where, when I was talking about retiring the coal-fired power plants, that's where that comes in. Because those coal-fired power plants, unless I'm mistaken, it's entirely carbon-based. That's what coal is, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so I guess that one's pretty self-explanatory. So maybe I don't have any follow-up on that one.
We can talk a little bit more just about like what that might entail. And we started off the conversation discussing solar and that being a big aspect of renewable energy locally. you know, certainly some other opportunities for that carbon-free electricity exist, for how Xcel and Holy Cross and Glenwood Springs Electric provide electricity with wind and geothermal. So there are other opportunities, and we have pretty close collaboration with those different entities. And I actually should highlight who the Garfield Clean Energy Collaborative members are. And I thought of this because Holy Cross is one of our GCE affiliate members. So they're very active participants in our meetings and inform a lot of the work that we do. And Xcel Energy, who's also a major utility provider in our area, their Partners in Energy program helped us to write this plan and convene a lot of the meetings. And we closely work with their staff to, we've got a couple workshops that we're going to be hosting for our utility providers and making sure that we're collaborating on this energy savings goal. We'll have another one on solar that are for our internal teams to start discussing how we're going to make those goals happen. So a lot of those important collaborations and support from these utilities in those goals. Garfield County is one of our members, and then all of the municipalities within Garfield County. And we feel like the collaborative aspect is really important to getting this work done, that we are stronger together in achieving these goals. And we also have Colorado Mountain College and RAFTA as GCE members,
who also both use a lot of energy in discharging their day-to-day mission.
Absolutely. And they've been excellent partners in energy savings as well. We really couldn't do a lot of the active transportation and transit work without RAFTA. So having their voice on the GCE board is really important.
A 15% increase. I'm sorry, you want a total of 15% electric vehicles by the year 2030. And you said that seems like a small number, but you said it's like a 20-fold increase than what are currently on the road right now. It's so interesting to hear you say that. And, you know, a lot of times you pay attention to what you're looking for, you know.
Absolutely.
I know someone who recently purchased an electric vehicle, and so it seems like I see one in every parking lot. And again, it's probably not that many. I'm just noticing now, whereas I didn't pay attention before. But, you know, it's interesting how the mind works sometimes.
I think that the number of EVs on the road actually is growing. There are more auto manufacturers making electric vehicles. They are becoming more appealing because their range is getting longer, so you can drive one further without having to charge it. There are more charging stations getting installed, so the feasibility of driving from Rifle to Denver or Glenwood to Denver becomes a lot more appealing. They can be a little bit trickier in the winter. The batteries don't last quite as long. So I think recognizing even that we need to install more fast charging stations, and we call them fast charging plazas, that become a little bit like a gas station where they're on a road trip, they pull into a parking lot and can charge their car in 20 minutes and continue on down the road. So I think more of those auto manufacturers are recognizing that this is becoming an appealing option. EVs are enjoyable to drive. They are quiet and smooth. And so that it's probably some of your observation and looking for them more, and probably also that there truly are more options now.
I know that they make crossover electric vehicles. I don't think they're quite to the point. Technology has not gotten to the point where they make larger electric vehicles. I'm talking about like commercial vehicles and pickups and that kind of thing yet. But do you see that on the horizon now that there is worldwide more of a focus on electric vehicles?
We hear a lot of news about commercial and some of these larger vehicles becoming electric. So I don't think you're going to see a semi driving down the road just yet that's electric, and that's very common. But I know that there's a lot of research and attention going into making those types of vehicles. So I think we'll continue to see more of those on the road. The Ford Lightning is the electric F-150, and the demand for that is super high. So I think as Ford is able to produce more of those, we'll see a lot more of those on the road. But we are seeing more of those EVs become kind of that crossover SUV size that is appealing to folks around here that, you know, maybe need all-wheel drive because we live in the mountains. And so just, yeah, more options.
Well, you got to have a pickup. It's too handy. Yeah, you know, it's a tool.
Yeah, yeah, and we're seeing Rivian. You know, the demand for those is also very high.
And thank you for correcting me. Yeah. I did not realize that there was an electric pickup that was available. So mm-hmm. The Ford Lightning. Mm-hmm. I guess I need to pay more attention to my news feed. I'm sure it's come up, and I just didn't, you know, notice it.
We're talking about it now, so I'm sure you'll see it.
There you go. Exactly, or I will notice when I do see it. Again, a lot of opportunities to, you know, we talked earlier, you present the problem that you're going to solve for folks. Be more energy efficient, which can lead to lower energy bills and that kind of thing. And you've got a number of ways that you can help folks, not just residential homes, but also commercial establishments as well with those energy audits. And again, in some cases, you may have some grants that you can hook people up with that can help them achieve those goals. The high points that I wrote down were, in the case of residential, single pane windows and blinds and that kind of thing. And you can just make little suggestions about things that people can change about their homes that may not necessarily cost that much, but in some cases can make a big difference in their energy usage.
Absolutely. And we, depending on income level, for at least the Re-Energize program, we issue a kind of a tiered rebate system for those upgrades, recognizing that they have different costs. But we really try to go for the biggest bang for your buck in terms of saving you money. And a lot of what I mentioned can be insulation in the attic or the basement. And so we will help, our programs help pay for that. We actually work with Northwest COG, Northwest Colorado Council of Governments. Got it right this time, to do that program. So they actually do the audits and then the work itself, and we'll install insulation, potentially also install, like I said, some of those other appliances that can be more energy efficient. So we really are excited about the Re-Energize program, but there are simple things that we all can do, and folks who maybe aren't eligible for the Re-Energize funds, although we are increasing the qualification level for Re-Energize to 150% of area median income. So we'll have even more families that are qualified for those rebates. And, you know, we really are looking as we to grow this program and see how we can try to incentivize and make it feasible for a lot of different residents to implement energy efficiency upgrades. But, you know, even if you don't qualify for Re-Energize, there's still opportunities to install a heat pump. This is a new technology that is really coming on the market. There's going to be some federal funding for those to be installed. That is a way to heat and cool homes with purely electricity. And the technology for those has come a long ways recently. So lots of great opportunities. Sometimes it's easy fixes like turning off the lights, making sure your thermostat is set properly so you're not, you know, heating your home when you're not there, that kind of thing. And then also some of that is just making those upgrades.
Our furnace has actually been coming on in the middle of the night for the last couple months, and it's exactly what you're talking about. Obviously, the timing is off on something, and so it's a change that, you know, doesn't take that long, but it actually requires you going over to the thermostat and making the change. You mentioned, again, not all of these programs have an income requirement, but for those that do, you're now able to go up to 150% of the average median income for the area. I want to say average income is around $60,000 for an individual.
You know, I would have to pull up those numbers. Okay. Because we do, it does depend on if you're an individual versus, you know, two people, and then the numbers change.
So it's not an easy answer.
Yeah.
Sorry. I didn't.
Oh, it's okay. I can get those numbers pretty quick. But yeah, it does depend on how many residents are in the family.
Gotcha.
For that qualification.
And again, that's just for some of the programs, not all of them. Mm-hmm. When we're talking about appliances, you mentioned furnaces, which, I mean, obviously seems like a big, you know, energy gobbler, if you will, refrigerators and stoves. I know that it seems like they don't engineer appliances to last as long as they did when I was a kid, you know, where, you know, you'd keep the stove for 20, 30 years in some cases, and it would seem to last. And maybe I'm just getting old, but it seems like things don't last as long as they used to. My point being, are they making these appliances more energy efficient now than, say, similar appliances 10, 15, 20 years ago?
Yeah, a lot of these appliances are getting more efficient, and we recognize that usually when someone is going to replace their boiler, it is at a time when the previous boiler or furnace has broken, and they look to that to be their time to replace it. But we do actually see some opportunities for funding for these heat pumps or more energy efficient appliances that could allow for replacement before the old one starts to fail, and with the thought that it will actually save so much money that it makes it worth it to replace it sooner. And I can't totally speak to the longevity of these appliances, but
that's fair.
or even existing ones in homes, but
I do seem to be more annoyed about the kids that, you know, cut across the lawn to go rather than on the sidewalk too. You know, so maybe I am just getting old. Speaking of the energy audits, can you take a look, for people that are interested, can you take a look at the existing appliance and actually give them an idea, do the math, if you replace with a model that meets these requirements that's new, you potentially could end up saving X amount of dollars every year?
Yeah, we do make that part of our energy audits for families. You know, for the residential program, when we work with Northwest Cog to do the home energy audits, it is typically more when someone has already qualified for either Re-Energize Care or the Care or WAP programs. So, but we do, you know, if anyone wants to call our office, we would still provide that service, just in terms of talking them through upgrades that they could make to their home. And our phone number is 970-704-9200 or 9200. And, you know, we love to talk with community members about ways that they can make their home more efficient, understanding the energy usage of their appliances, that kind of thing. So we're, like I said, we like to provide that service. And certainly for the commercial standpoint, we are always seeking new commercial applicants or businesses that want to get that service from us.
Again, that phone number is 704-9200. And yeah, one of the big ways that you can save on energy is if you actually remember to turn the oven off after you, you know, pull the food out, which is something I frequently have a problem with.
save that energy, turn the lights off. Like I said, you know, heating and cooling can be a major source of energy consumption. So just making sure that that's efficient.
So let me give you all of those websites one more time, or both of those websites and the phone number one more time. Again, it's cleanenergyeconomy.net. GarfieldCleanEnergy.org, where you can find that Re-Energize application we talked about before. And phone number always works. That's 704-9200. Any final thoughts, Morgan? We covered a lot of territory today.
We did.
Stayed mostly on topic, which is, I'm impressed.
Yeah, it was great to talk with you about the work that we're doing. You know, again, Garfield Clean Energy has implemented this energy action plan, and we're really excited about the goals that we've set for our community and feel like these are very tangible, actionable items. We've put a lot of strategies in the energy action plan as well that put a focus on implementation. So it's not a plan that just sits on the shelf. It's one that, that we at Clear and Garfield Clean Energy, as well as, you know, how we engage with our board members, they can implement those strategies as well. So it's really exciting and important effort. We think it really benefits our community. And yeah, just great to be able to talk with you and share more about it.
Again, the website is cleanenergyeconomy.net. I guess that's the primary website we really talk about today. And the phone number, 704-9200. All the best. We'll see you around.
Thanks so much.
You've been listening to KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 1230. It's another reason we are the most listened to radio station from Rifle to Aspen.